Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I guess it's Monday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but swing on over there, check out what's going on. You never know what the heck might pop up while you're hanging out over there, so get over there and do that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, take yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, three E's.
Yeah, so Dan, it was another, let's call it a craptacular week in the NFL. And, we didn't do badly on picks, but oddly, you know, some of the games we lost, I can't figure out. I am dying to know how the Giants beat the Chiefs. they were talking about the weather before the game, and you know, there were going to be some gusts up to 50 miles an hour and this and that, and it's like, okay, well, you know, the Chiefs still have a pretty good running game. They have a quarterback who can run the football, and they didn't score a touchdown against the Giants, who had one win and were falling apart coming into the game. And then to make it even scarier, the Chiefs are actually still in first place in their division. That's how bad their division is.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought this was going to be the year of the Raiders and the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, you know, once Derek Carr got hurt. I'm trying to think, what did they started out? Was it 4-0, I think it was? And
yeah,
Now they're 6-4. You know, they've dropped a couple games in a row. And, you know, to make it even worse, they were coming off a bye. So they couldn't get ready for the New York Giants with 2 weeks to prepare. A 1-8 team. I don't want to hear the Kansas City BS anymore about how they're, you know, oh, they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender in the AFC. No, they don't even belong in the playoffs. Even if they win their division, they don't belong in the playoffs. That's how big of an embarrassment that was. Just ridiculously bad to go into, well, technically New Jersey, and just get embarrassed by the Giants like that. I mean, you know, it's just a flat-out joke. And in reality, Andy Reid should probably be fired. You lose to a 1-8 team like that as embarrassingly as you just did. It should cost you your job. There's no excuse for that. You know, it's just that's just a huge joke. So, you know, and then, you know, it was weird, Dan, because I heard it again yesterday after the Bears choked their game away, which we all kind of figured they would do. That's nothing new in Chicago here. I came in and I turned on the radio because I like to listen to the WGN postgame show with Dan Hampton and Ed Obradovich, because mm-hmm. they'll actually tell you the truth, you know, not the sugar-coated BS you get when, you know, John Fox goes to the podium or somebody who's paying to cover the Bears gives you a recap because, you know, they've got to be careful what they say. You know, these guys come out and when they suck, they tell you they suck. What I don't understand also is I've looked at the waiver wire today, and I don't understand how Connor Barth still has a job, but that's a different story. And oddly, what I was really disappointed in was you know, Jay Cutler got a concussion in the Miami-Tampa Bay game, and not the two hosts of the show, but the other, you know, guys who were just kind of hanging around on the show were making fun of him. And I really didn't appreciate that. I mean, you know, concussions are a huge thing in the NFL, and it's not like he went out there and did it intentionally. You know, he ended up getting whacked in the head by a, you know, a guy's forearm. And I got to tell you, Dan, I thought that was really low class of them and just kind of crappy to do. You know, you don't do that kind of stuff when a guy's hurt, and I thought it was, you know, I really thought it was garbage. And they just made it as a really quick kind of ha-ha, let's move on type of comment. But I really think if anybody from the radio station who had any power was listening, those guys should be suspended. Because that's, you know, that's, again, you just don't do that. I mean, the man legitimately got hurt. Again, nothing intentional. And, you know, it just really bothered me, and I ended up turning the show off because of it.
Who are the hangarounds?
I don't remember. It's just the studio guys who jump in with, like, quick updates and stuff. And I don't remember their names because I don't pay that much attention to them. So it was just kind of like, you know, okay. Because I really just want to hear what Hampton and Obradovich have to say. And when the other guys talk, I kind of tune it out. And, you know, when I heard it and they started kind of joking about it, I was like, oh, okay. That's kind of classless. I think I'm going to turn this off now. So,
oh,
yeah, it was just like, yeah.
That's what they're used to doing.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I wouldn't have had a problem. I mean, I know he went out and had a bad first half anyways. He ended up throwing three picks. So if you want to make fun of him for that, okay, great, that's cool. But when you start talking about him getting injured, you know, that kind of falls into a different category. You know, I mean, let me whack one of those guys in the head, and then you and I can laugh at them and, you know, see how they like it. You know, it was just, I thought it was just really classless. And I mean, you know, I know at times I'm no better here, but I don't believe I make fun of guys for getting hurt. So, you know, maybe other stupid things they do, but yeah, it was just, you know, just one of those things. And then oddly, it was a whole different sport, but it's the only radio station I can get at work is WGN. It's just the way the building is set up. There's nothing else I can do. And I turn the overnight thing on while I'm doing my setup in my office, and I'm only in there for about 45 minutes or an hour to start my day off. And a different sport, though, but these guys are on there saying the reason the Cubs beat the Nationals was because of Dusty Baker. So I text them, you know, your question, what did Dusty do here that everybody still holds a grudge against him? And, of course, it didn't get on the air. So, but, yeah, I just thought that was humorous because here's more people going, oh, yeah, it's his fault. Well, what'd he do? Well, I don't know. He lost with the Cubs when he was here in the playoffs, so it's his fault. I was like, do you guys really know nothing? You know, and I get it. It's not a sports station. You know, they do very little sports talk lately. It's, you know, just how much fun of Donald Trump we can make because that's the bandwagon to be on. But, yeah, I just thought it was humorous that these guys started talking sports, and then when I send them a question, they don't answer it. So, you know, I was just kind of like, okay, well, you guys are obviously just going along with what everybody else has said, and we're going to point fingers at Dusty, even though nobody, and your question proved it, nobody has any idea what the heck this guy did. So, yeah, that was my wonderful sports analysis yesterday.
Well, and I was going to say, I can't imagine they have that many texters and callers on the overnight show.
No, you wouldn't think it, you know, because this was, I can't remember what time I got to work today, about 2 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, you would wonder,
you know. Well, you know, even when David Kaplan was working there many moons ago, I got through on any given night on a post-game show. You know, and that was me getting off shift at 11, 1, 2, or 3. I was able to get through no problem on all those night shifts. So, you know, they just what's the word I'm looking for? Screened your text. And hit, you know, hit the delete or whatever.
I'm sure whichever intern or producer, as they call them, or whatever they had going on screening text, he looked at mine and went, yeah, what's going here? You know, I don't want to talk about that. But, yeah, you know, just one of those. It was just one of those funny things because, yeah, it was the when they started talking about it, it was the first thing that came to my mind. I was, okay, well, let's see if these guys can answer it. You know, because that's one of those things that it's just going to be like, really? What did he do? So, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, he didn't win a World Series here. He didn't win one with the Nationals, but he went to the playoffs. You know, I understand the Nationals. You know, I understand the Nationals' reasoning. They wanted what would be looked at as a cooler, hipper guy to try to relate to Bryce Harper. And, you know, Dusty Baker's not going to be that guy. You know, that's he's way past his time there. So, I can sort of kind of understand the change, even though it sucked because the guy won.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about it before. A lot of the teams that should have been or could have been in a better position that didn't make the playoffs still have the same manager. So you're, you know, whatever the outcome may be, I don't see it being any different or any better for the Nationals.
I mean, it's, you know, again, it's one of, you know, one of those things, you know, like they were talking about what a, you know, the one thing they did bring up is he had such a great pitching staff there. And I'm like, okay, well, Gio had a really good year. And he had Strasburg and Scherzer, of course. But his bullpen was a nightmare to start. And even when they fixed it, they got lucky because they fixed it with two journeymen who kind of bounced back and did well for them. But, you know, if I'm a Nationals fan, I'm not super confident going in with Sean Doolittle and Ryan Matson closing out my bullpen again. You know, both of them have injury problems. You know, Doolittle missed almost two full seasons with injuries. And, you know, Matson has had his ups and downs as well with the injury bug. So, you know, I get it. They did really well for you, but I think you're playing with, I don't know, fire there or injuries or however you want to look at it. But yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, well, here we go. Dusty did what now? So,
yeah, well, you know, like you said, the two journeymen, next year in our fantasy league, they'll be drafted. But prior to that, these are two guys you pick up on the waiver. Because you're looking for extra.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, the only reason they're drafted in our league is because it's so big. You know, if it wasn't a 20-team league, we probably wouldn't be looking at, you know, those guys getting picks. Maybe somebody takes a flyer on one of them, but yeah, it's not, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's not going to be a guy you're going to, you know, he's one of those guys like you and I nominate to get him off the ballot and get him off the board and get somebody else to spend money on him. So,
yeah. You did bring up the ballot. So real quick, I just saw that Zambrano and Kerry Wood will be on the ballot this year for Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I don't know how long you have to play to get on, but yeah, I did see they released it, and that's what kind of threw me off. I confused ballot with you know, everything else, but yeah, they were saying it looks like they believe Chipper Jones is going to go in. It's his first year of eligibility. That wouldn't surprise me. And apparently they're really behind Jim Thome.
Wow. But I mean, when it comes to Chipper, how can that be a belief? that should just be an automatic.
Yeah, well, you know how it is with the Hall of Fame, though. Nothing's automatic. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we
yeah.
you know, we've talked about the voting just a million times here, and you know, I like, you know, obviously, I think he'll get in. You know, I really do. Like their predictions here, they have Chipper, Jim Thome, Trevor Hoffman, and is this Pedro Guerrero, or who's the other? Oh, it must be Vlad, Vladimir Guerrero getting in.
Wasn't Vlad have an asterisk? I mean, did we get over that now, or?
Yeah, you know, I don't think he was linked enough to where it would make that huge of an impact on his candidacy, unlike, you know, a Palmeiro or, you know, a guy like that. So. Mm-hmm. You know, because
so
last year he did.
Saying,
I got, you know, I got his I got his percentage here. He got 71% last year, almost 72. So you've got to figure, you know, he's gonna probably get in.
So what you're saying is, he didn't generate the too much of a negative publicity for Major League Baseball. So
yeah. Well, you know, it was kind of like. You know, remember there were always questions about Pudge Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean that was always a thing. You know, remember the 1 year he showed up and he was this big kind of muscle bound guy, and then the next year he came back and he was thinned out and he was really lean. So, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, every year there were questions about what was going on with this guy. But yeah, when it came to his Hall of Fame voting, that wasn't an issue at all. So I guess it depends.
I mean,
I think a lot, you know, he just wasn't front and center like a Barry Bonds.
Well, and that's kind of where I was going with. I mean, Barry has the negativity to begin with, but then you take a guy like Sammy, and then you hit it off with, you know, the home run of the negativity was Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah.
You know, the negative light that it put everyone in. So that's kind of what I was alluding at. You know, where these guys
you know,
are no
Sammy
more proof.
Sammy is on the ballot.
They were, yeah, but my point was they were no more proven to have, you know, done such a thing as much as Pudge has, but yet the blame takes the shift, you know, because of the publicity that they had or the amount of negative
publicity. Well, you know,
that it generated.
You know, that and the fact that Pudge never hit 60 homers, you know, in a season. I mean, you look at Bonds, you look at McGuire, you look at Sosa, you know, you start pointing at those guys going, oh yeah, well look, you know, look at these numbers he's put up and, you know, those kind of things. I can kind of see, you know, where they get it from. And, you know, again, you know, like, you know, Roger Clemens, you know, is really the only pitcher who's been kind of hung up on this. And, you know, they're all still hanging around the ballot. You know, last year, both him and Bonds got over 50%. So, you know, you just wonder if slowly but surely they're going to creep in. They're only in their sixth year. So they have, what is it, 10 years now you stay on the ballot?
Yeah, 10. And then you get moved to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, you move over to the Veterans Committee. So, you know, I think they have an outside shot. But, you know, like McGuire is already off the ballot. So he's done, and Sammy's barely hanging on. Sammy got 8.6% last year, so I won't be surprised if Sammy disappears from the ballot this year. So, you know, just kind of how it goes. But yeah, there's a lot of
a million times.
You know, there's a lot of money.
Baseball didn't have an issue when all the ratings and was being generated when those guys were doing what they were doing.
Yeah, well, no, you know, to be fair,
down.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if baseball has an issue with it now, but, you know, it's the writers who vote on it. So, you know, I mean, obviously I know baseball had to take a stand and they had to come up with punishments. You know, otherwise they would have just gotten killed in the media. But, yeah, in reality, like, I honestly don't think they care that there was a home run boom this year. You know, it seems to be the way to attract young fans because they don't understand the concept of a 1-0 game. But if you give them a 10-9 game, they're interested in it. So, you know, it's the Bieberization of America.
Oh, I read a book set in the future where he's the president.
Well, he's Canadian, so we probably have to change some laws, but I'm sure it's possible, you know, what the hell.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you know, there's some, you know, there's some fun first ballot guys on here, you know, that were really, they're probably not Hall of Fame worthy. But you know, there's, you know, Chris Carpenter, Johnny Damon, Levon Hernandez, Orlando Hudson, Aubrey Huff, Jason Isringhausen, Andrew Jones is on the ballot this year. Carlos Lee, Brad Lidge, Hideki Matsui, Kevin Millwood, Jamie Moyer, who probably would rather still be playing at his age, Scott Rowland, Johan Santana is on the ballot, Omar Vizquel, and then you mentioned Wooden Zambrano. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they do as, you know, first-timers and, you know, who kind of gets the respect. You know, I'm a little surprised they got Tomy going in so easily. I know he's a 600 homer guy, but, you know, he was really a DH, and normally those guys struggle. You know, Edgar Martinez is still hanging around on the ballot. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things.
I mean, what do you think of Wood and Zambrano? I mean, I think they were great players here, but I don't think they're first ballots. I don't even know if they are Hall of Famers.
Yeah, no, I honestly don't think either of them are Hall of Famers. You know, I don't think either of them had the longevity to really, you know, it was funny because, like, if you track them out, they started off like it. You know, they both put up, you know, big-time numbers, and they looked like they were going to have guys who were going to have great careers. But, yeah, you know, in the end, the stats just aren't there to, you know, to back them up. I mean, I don't think any of the pitchers added to the ballot. You know, like Chris Carpenter's not a Hall of Famer. Jason Isringhauser's not. It's you know, Brad Lidge. It's a thin year for pitching. You know, like Jamie Moore is a fun story, but, you know, I mean, the novelty is he pitched till he was almost 50, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
No. Well, and, you know, maybe that's why they put Tomy going in a little easier than one would have expected.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that is possible. You know, I know there's a lot of guys who always campaign for Mike Mussina. You know, he got 51.8% last year. I've never been a huge fan, but, you know, he factors in sabermetrically. So, you know, as we get younger and younger voters, he's going to do better, you know, these next few years. You know, the guy I've always been baffled by is Gary Sheffield. I really thought he was a Hall of Famer, but he only got 13.3% last year. So he's got to be careful of slipping off because I think you need, what is it, 5% to stay on?
Yeah, well, he's with that Red Sox that didn't, nobody liked.
Jim Rice.
I think he's kind of one of those. Yeah, he's a Jim. I was going to say Jerry.
Yeah.
And that was wrong.
Well, you would have been right Hall of Fame, just wrong sport. So. So, yeah, you know, and then, like, you know, Fred McGriff is still hanging around here. You know, I know there's people who, you know, go to bat for him. So, you know, it just, you know, I guess it just depends who you're kind of on board with. Like, I can see Trevor Hoffman getting in. You know, in reality, he's the second best closer of all time behind Rivera. So why shouldn't he be in? You know, it was just kind of like, okay. Yeah, you know, even like, you know, a lot of the guys hanging around, like, I don't, you know, like Jeff Kent's hanging around. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. You know, I know he had a couple really good Giants. Manny's actually still on the ballot as well. You know, but I am wondering, you know, what about Schilling? Is he, has he kind of tanked himself in this whole deal?
Yeah, well, you know, sadly, you know, the publicity can kind of kill it for a guy. And despite his baseball heroics, I mean, it doesn't make him a hero that he went out there because he was bleeding. I think it's the fact that, you know, he didn't say no, he didn't put it down. You know, he didn't shut it down. And he went out there and pitched not only for himself, but for the team and for Boston. And sadly, his political views and, you know, I think we'll hold him out.
So, yeah, you know, Larry Walker, I always thought Larry Walker was a really good player and a borderline Hall of Famer. But I'm sure, you know, he'll get dinged because he played quite a few years in Colorado. So...
Which, I mean, I just find that such a crappy thing. I mean, why even have a team there if everything you do, anything you do there doesn't count?
Yeah, it is kind of humorous that, you know, it's like anytime a guy does anything from there, well, you know, he's playing in Colorado. Yeah, he doesn't play every single game in Colorado. You know, he's still got to go on the road. But, you know, they just don't seem to get that. Now, you know, this is, you know, kind of an interesting case here because, you know, Johan Santana, you know, he's on the ballot for the first time. He, you know, numbers-wise, you don't know, he's 139-78. He only pitched for 12 years. But he does have an ERA of 3.20. You know, he did win two Cy Young Awards. You know, did he do enough? Did he have enough time to put up the numbers needed to get himself in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, I would think so. And that's an ERA in American League, is it?
Yeah, well, he did finish, you know, those last few years with the Mets, but, you know, the majority of the time, yeah, he was with the Twins. There we go. I couldn't think of who the hell he was pitching with. So... But,
well,
yeah,
I mean
you know, because you wonder, you know, I mean, when you think of dominant, I mean, he was dominant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he led the AL in ERA twice, the National League one time. You know, he led the American League in strikeouts, the American League in strikeouts three times. So, you know, there are some, you know, big, big numbers up here for him. And you just wonder, you know, when you start to look at it, I mean, he made a career, 284 career starts. He did pitch in 360 career games. But, yeah, I mean, you just wonder, you know, is it over a long enough span to where they're going to take him seriously as a candidate? Was he with that Mets team? I'm trying to remember when the Twins won.
I thought it was early 2000s when he first came in. Wasn't it because the Yankees won in, what, 99, 2000, 2001 or something like that. And then I thought the Twins won one there between, you know, the Cardinals and.
Yeah, he went, you know, with the Twins, he was there in 02, 03, 04, and 06, but it doesn't look like they got any farther than the ALCS.
Oh.
So, it doesn't look like he got a ring, but, you know, he did get some playoff experience, I guess, you know, if that counts for anything. But, yeah, you know, it's just one of those guys, I mean, you know, especially when you're kind of looking at pitchers on the ballot, you know, he may be the best one. You know, and I know, you know, he missed 2 years. He came back in 2012 to try to get right. And, you know, he just wasn't the same guy. He did make 21 starts, but he had a 4.85 ERA, and he was 6-9. But, you know, by then he was done. And, yeah, you know, you just wonder, those injuries kind of shortened his career. You know, if he could have stayed healthy, you know, could he have tacked on 4 or 5 more really quality seasons and really put up numbers? But, you know, yeah, he's kind of that one pitcher that intrigues me. And, you know, I'm always interested to see how the first ballot guys do. And I'm wondering how much respect he's going to get.
Well, how is he sabermetrically?
Yeah, you know how those things go. I could care less. I just remember him being really dominant, you know, which is tough to say about, you know, a lot of the guys on here. Well, he was really dominant for a really long time. And, you know, that's the difference between him and some of the other guys on here.
Well, I mean, what's his strikeout war on odd number of days?
Yeah. You know, yeah. Well, you know, it's, you know, probably really good. You know how that goes. So he's just
not in Colorado.
He may have pitched in Colorado for the Mets, so we got to be careful to factor them out. he does have a career 5.51 WAR. So he does have a very good WAR. You can, you can take that for what it's worth. Yeah, luckily, Baseball Reference doesn't have, the sabermetric stats don't pop up with the regular stuff, so I don't have to go hunting them down and actually try to look for them, because I would probably pull my hair out. So, but he did lead the American League in ERA plus 3 years in a row, along with, what is FIP is, I'm trying to remember what FIP is, Fielding Independent Pitching. So there you go.
I don't even know what the hell that is or how that factors into the game.
No, nope.
You know, do you think that with his time in Minnesota that the Twins weren't dominant enough for as a team to kind of help get a couple more votes?
Yeah, you know, you wonder.
Pitch for the Yanks.
Yeah, you do wonder how many guys are looking at him going, oh, wait, I don't remember him. So, you know, I mean, the one thing you can kind of look at, I mean, this typifies being a Minnesota Twin. In 2004, Santana won the Cy Young Award. Didn't make the All-Star team that season.
Wow. But it wasn't
so,
in
Minnesota, yeah,
then.
You just kind of. No, yeah, you just kind of wonder, you know, who the manager was or whatever that made you think, okay, well, you know, he won 20 games that year. He was 20-6, so I'm sure his first half was probably pretty decent. But somewhere along the line, yeah, the guy went, yeah, we don't need Johan Santana. He did make it the next 3 years as a Twin. So, but yeah, it's just kind of humorous when you look at it and you go, wait, he won a Cy Young but somehow didn't make an All-Star team? So.
Well, if it was 2006 and the coach was pitching, I mean, we would both know why he wasn't picked.
Yeah. Well, maybe that year they let Hawk Harrelson pick the team and he just didn't take any Twins. No. You know, just one of those. You know, one of those fun things. Here's the odd thing, though. Looking at this, I never really knew this. You know, he was originally drafted by he was signed by the Astros, and then the Marlins took him in the Rule 5 draft. But basically, they took him to trade him to the Twins. It was one of those deals. All the Marlins got in return for Santana was a player by the name of Jared Camp. All right, now Camp was he's a right-handed pitcher who doesn't appear to have ever made it into the major leagues. Let me see what we got here. It looks like he had a couple stints at AAA over an 8-year career. So, yeah, you wonder who or what the Marlins were looking at when they were evaluating Santana's talent, that they spun him right around for this guy, because it definitely did not go their way. Would be the best way to look at it, I guess, is how we're going to describe it. So, yeah, again, like I said, I don't know what guy, baseball is one of those funny sports like that where, you've got a great scouting report on a guy and he's the next thing. So you trade Johan Santana for Jared Camp, and Santana goes on to have a career that's considered Hall of Fame worthy. And, Camp goes, 34-36 over 8 minor league seasons with a 4.50 ERA. So yeah, it's weird how things like that work out, huh? that's one of the interesting things about baseball that you rarely get in other sports. Is the fact that sometimes you can. Pick up a star player for a guy who, as the new saying goes, is going to be driving Uber by the end of, whatever this works out. So, yeah, I just, one of those things that's kind of humorous. But, we shall see. I saw here the ballots have to be postmarked by December 31st. And I'm trying, do they have, when do they make the announcements here on who, here we go. The results of the election will be announced January 24th. So we have it's November, so we got December. We got a couple months yet before we figure out who's going to be the new Hall of Fame members. So we shall see how it works out for them and who ends up going. But yeah, it seems like for whatever reason, everybody is kind of locked in on already on it being Vlad Guerrero, Chipper Jones, Jim Thome, and Trevor Hoffman. Who knows if a fifth guy can sneak in, or maybe some guy shows enough to where, he eventually, gets up there. Omar Vizquel is another one of those guys. And he's going to be an interesting case because while he was never, a great hitter, he was one of the best defensive shortstops to ever play the game. And you've just got to wonder how much of that they're going to take into effect when they're doing their voting. I mean, I don't know, how in depth a lot of these guys will actually get or how things kind of go. But yeah, when it boils down to it, some may say he's actually the best defensive shortstop of all time, and that's including Ozzie Smith. So,
oh wow,
he ended up playing quite a few places. Let me grab his stuff here as my I don't know why they did that. That's not what I wanted there. Come on, don't be that way with me. There, did we get what I wanted this time? Yes, we did. Yeah, he started with the Mariners. Then he ended up going to Cleveland. Cleveland was where he played the majority of the time. He spent 11 years in Cleveland. He spent 4 years with the Giants, a season with the Rangers, a couple seasons White Sox, and then he wrapped up with Toronto in 2012.
Oh, he was shy of the World Series with the Giants.
Yeah, you kind of look at his numbers. He does have 2,877 hits, but he played 24 years. He was a .272 career hitter. So So, you know, again, he got better as his career went on. But, you know, the impressive thing is, you know, we're looking at a guy who won nine consecutive gold gloves and 11 overall.
He won those nine with the Indians, right? Or was that a
He won one with Seattle before he went to Cleveland. So he won one in Seattle, eight in a row with Cleveland, and then two with San Francisco.
Well, he was.
So
was
yeah,
he. When was he in San Francisco?
2005, 2006, and 2007.
Oh wow. Right,
you know, and he won them in San Francisco. He was 38 and 39 when he won those gold gloves in San Francisco, so he was still putting it down, you know, at an older age. You know, he was always there. You know, obviously not a power guy. He only got into double digits one year. He's got 80 career homers. You know, didn't drive in a ton of runs, but you know, again, you know, you're looking at a guy who's, you know, renowned for his defense. And interestingly, in this day and age in Major League Baseball, he actually is only, he struck out, I'm trying to do the numbers in my head here. Over his career, only struck out 59 more times than he walked. So.
Oh, wow. How many runs did he have, though? How many times did he cross the plate himself?
He crossed the plate a whopping total of 1,445 times.
You know, because, I mean, that's one of the stats that's highly overlooked in Major League Baseball, especially today. And I'm sure he'd still be able to have the long career that he had if he, you know, started maybe 10 years later. I don't know if he'd get the respect. But, I mean, I don't think he would have had that many runs playing, you know, this side of the sabermetric when a guy like he, who should be at the top of the order, if not leading off, but, you know, if not leading off, but definitely batting second, you know, with 2,700 hits, you know, what is 1,400? That's roughly half the time that he got on base. He was knocked in. Where, you know, his batting position today is housed by, you know, Mike Trout and Chris Bryant and, you know, the guys like that, which makes no sense, you know.
Yeah, and he did go to two World Series with the Indians. 95, they lost to Atlanta, and 97, they lost to Florida. And they were Florida then. That was before they became Miami. But, you know, he's a career 250 hitter in the postseason. But 57 career postseason games. So.
Wow. That's a pretty good number.
Yeah. You know, it's just,
and that was,
you know, one of those things.
And that was before the expanded playoffs, correct?
No, he got some time in the, I don't know if there was a wild card team at the time. Past it. Yeah, there were. Oh, well, maybe. Yeah, ALDS, ALCS, World Series. So there were the, you know, those matchups. But, yeah, I don't think there were wild card games yet when he was rolling along. So they never got to.
Well, I guess there was only one game, so it doesn't add a whole lot to that.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, you know, but, yeah, he definitely, you know, he'll be an interesting kind of case study because, you know, he never was talked about like an Ozzie Smith. You know, he didn't have the cool Wizard of Oz nickname and, you know, that kind of stuff. Right. You know, but he was, you know, he was obviously a quality defender for, you know, many, many years as the Gold Gloves show. So, you know, it's just one of those, again, you know, one of those things we'll have to see if they're, you know, if they're paying attention when, you know, when they're handing out, you know, when they're doing this voting or, you know, how they're kind of, you know, how they're kind of doing it, you know, overall. So we'll, you know, again, like I said, we'll have to see and, you know, just kind of see how it works out, but. Looking to see here how he compares. Yeah, Ozzie Smith won 13 Gold Gloves at shortstop. Vizquel won 11. They're 1-2 all time. So
where's Jeter?
Jeter is, he had 5. So he's a little farther down the list. It looks like this is everybody. Smith had 13, and Pudge, while we mentioned Pudge earlier, he had 13. The guy with the most overall is Brooks Robinson, who won 16 at third base.
He was up in Baltimore, right?
Yeah, it's odd. 80. There's very few double-digit infield winners. There's Rodriguez and Bench at catcher. Keith Hernandez is the only first baseman. Roberto Alomar is the only second baseman. Schmidt joins Robinson at third base with 10. And then Smith and Vizquel at shortstop are the only double-digit winners. There's 7 outfielders. And names you'll know, of course, Roberto Clemente, Willie Mays, Ken Griffey Jr., Andrew Jones, Al Kaline, and Ichiro Suzuki all have double-digit Gold Glove wins.
Sadly, Ichiro will never get another one of those.
No, yeah, he'll never get to that 11th one unless something weird happens. Pitching-wise, only 2 guys have won 10 or more. Greg Maddux has 18 Gold Gloves, so technically he's the all-time leader. And Jim Cott has 16. So,
That's pretty much Greg Maddux's career. I mean, how did he go? I mean, that's just amazing.
You know, and I know you'll be interested to know Ron Santo won 5. His name just happens to be in the middle of the screen here. oddly, only 2 guys have ever won Gold Gloves at multiple positions. And it's names you wouldn't even expect. Darren Ernstead won one as an outfielder and another one as a first baseman. And then Placido Polanco won one as a second baseman and a third baseman. So we'll have to see now in this new age of, you know, these new age of baseball, if these super utility guys can pick up Gold Gloves at multiple spots.
Well, you know, that's what I was going to ask you with a guy like Ben Zobrist, but more so with Chris Bryant. How would that even work? Because I don't even remember if he did get one over the last 2 seasons, Bryant.
No, he doesn't have one.
Do you have to qualify? Because I think the stupid Joe Maddon experiment with Chris Bryant is over. I don't think we'll see him playing in the outfield next year, barring, the fact that Jason Hayward and Almora and whatever run-of-the-mill outfielder they pick up next year all don't get hurt, you know, including Schwarber, if he's not moved.
Yes. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it, you know, I don't know if there's qualifications if you have to play so many games. I know there was an uproar 1 year because Rafael Palmeiro won a first base Gold Glove and he actually spent more time as a DH. So I don't know if they changed the rules after that. So, you know, we would have to see how it worked out. But, yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's an interesting list when you start to look at it and just kind of, you know, see some of the names of guys who have, you know, who have won the award. So, you know, like, did you know Albert Pujols has 2 Gold Gloves, even though he's a horrible player?
Worst ever, right?
Well, this year.
Or was that just last?
You know, your guy,
this year.
Yeah, your guy Derek Lee had 3. Mark Grace had 4.
Oh, I had a really bad joke, but I'm not even going to say it. I'm sure you know where I was going.
Oh, yeah,
you do.
Yeah, I got an idea. You know, but I mean, you know, some of the all-time greats, you know, Hank Aaron won 3, Barry Bonds won 3. So, you know, Pete Rose won two as an outfielder, never won one as a first baseman or a third baseman. So, but yeah, so it's,
A-Rod
it's
never,
you know, definitely. A-Rod, let's see if he,
because he went from short to third.
Yeah, he won two as a shortstop, but never as a third baseman.
That's interesting that he never garnered a vote or, you know, the gold glove at third, especially being with the Yanks.
Yeah, you know, it's odd because sometimes they do come down to popularity like that. So, yeah, it is a little surprising that he didn't just kind of pick one up there. But, you know, you do wonder, like, Nolan Arenado's got five. You wonder if he's going to get to 10 in his career?
Yeah, why? He plays in Colorado.
Candidate. Yeah, does that affect defense? I'm not quite sure. We should ask somebody that sometime on how that affects their defense.
His glove probably weighs less because of the altitude.
Yeah, it helps him, you know, make the plays. Your guy Adrian Gonzalez has four.
Yeah, sadly, I think he's done.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he makes some kind of an announcement or what he ends up doing. I've been kind of wondering how that's going to shake out because I believe he is under contract for next year, right?
Yeah, I think he still has 1 year left. Because you figure he came over from the Red Sox and was it? I think it was 2012 or 13 12 right before the 13 season. With Josh Beckett and a handful of the other, with Carl Crawford, and there's a couple others. And I know they had a pretty long-term deal with him. I mean, technically, I think Carl Crawford was even up through 18 or 19. I don't remember. I know it was a long, long contract.
Yeah. I know they paid Carl Crawford to stay away a little bit there, you know, after he kind of went downhill. So let's see if they have it here. Yeah, he is signed just through next year. Let me get down to the bottom here and get the actual number. It's $22.357 million for next year.
Wow.
So
I don't know how much.
And yeah, the deal was. Yeah, it was Josh Beckett, Carl Crawford, and Nick Punto, who came over from the Red Sox. In return, the Red Sox got Ivan DeJesus, that would be Junior, James Loney, and Alan Webster.
The only one I don't remember out of all of those is Alan Webster. I remember Punto.
Yeah, and then
he had a little name for himself for a couple of years.
Yeah, Boston also got two players to be named later. They got Ruby De La Rosa and Jerry Sands as part of the deal. So
James Loney hung around for a while. I think not this past season, but season prior, he finished up with the Mets after a time down in Tampa with Joe.
Yeah, was it I'm trying to remember. Did he end up playing with somebody last year? Let me down here real quick. He actually didn't play in the majors last year. So
he hung around for a while.
He spent time with Detroit, Atlanta, and Minnesota in AAA, but he never got to the major league last year. So yeah, you got to wonder if just maybe. You know, he ended up having a pretty long career for a guy, you know, they complained about wasn't a power hitter at first base.
Yeah.
You know, he ended up playing here 11 years. So.
Well, he put up solid numbers with Tampa. You know, with the three teams you mentioned, I mean, he was an injury or two away from hitting the majors last year. But, I mean, let's be honest, what was the point? You know, with Atlanta, he had Freddie Freeman, which I guess, with the way Freddie Freeman's career has gone over the last couple of years, you might need a a veteran in the weights. And then Minnesota, they had they had that other, that one kid they kept calling up that I kept picking up on the for the fantasy, and I know they had a solid first baseman starter. And then Detroit, didn't they move Miggy over to first?
But yeah, you know, in all the cases, you know, Freeman got hurt last year, so I can see why the Braves signed him. And then Miggy got hurt, so I can see why Detroit wanted to bring him in. But yeah, he just never got to the point where he ended up being called up. And yeah, you just got to wonder, you know, if he's done, or maybe he'll go over to Japan and play a season or two. So.
I wonder if that East Coast Independent League still takes guys like he, and where they could still make a little bit of cash.
So yeah, that's a, you know, that's always a, you know, a possibility. You know, he is a career 284 hitter. So, you know, it's not like he was a schlub or anything. He just wasn't, you know, wasn't a big-time power hitter for a first baseman. The most he ever hit was 15, and that was in his second year in the majors.
I'm sure they wanted him to be a 30-plus guy, at least 25.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of the stigma. You know, you play first base, and it's like, but you've got to hit, you know, 30 home runs. But yeah, he just wasn't that guy. So,
he was left-handed.
Yeah. But you know, he was a great fielder for his career. He had a .993 fielding percentage. Only made 75 errors over 11 career years. So, you know, it's just depending. You know, with, you know, again, like, you know, back then, you know, with the right team, you fit in okay. You know, it's kind of like, well, you know, they can carry offensive guys other places. And, you know, he was fine. But, you know, when you need a, you know, you need a big bopper at first base, that's where teams seem to want to put him. And, you know, that's kind of where he loses out. So, well, you know, we'll have to see. Who knows? Maybe he'll catch on again and we'll see him. So not a horrible career. To date, they said he's made just a little under $37 million. So not bad work if you can get it, right?
I would take 2% of that.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, again, just one of those guys who might pop up. I know they were talking yesterday. I saw the Mets aren't sure if Dominic Smith will be their everyday first baseman. So he could end up back with the Mets as kind of a veteran, you know, type of bench guy who could help out there. You know, I'm sure he would, you know, play for the minimum with what they make now. So, you know, you never. Oh, all right. The music means it's time for Dan and I to take off. But, hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed is at sportstimeradio, of course. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. As always, big thanks for listening live. It's cool when you guys come out here and spend an hour with us like that. But don't forget, you can listen to the podcast anytime you want over at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.